This morning's reading is taken from Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 25, and it's on page 1208 in the Church Bibles. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
The Christian evangelist Dwight Moody said, "A person ought to live so that everybody knows they are a Christian, and most of all their family ought to know." Which sort of sums up this series, I think. We should live our lives so that everyone that we come into contact with actually knows that we are Christians. So as we reach this final Sunday in the LIC series, our hope and prayer is you found the series interesting, thought-provoking, encouraging. But most of all, we hope that it has led or will lead to some changes in the way that you, the way that we all behave and interact with people on our front lines. As Rob has already said, our front lines are not just about the workplace. And if you missed any of the series or you've forgotten what the message was, please do have a listen or re-listen to the recorded versions. But one of the things that's particularly stayed with me during this series has been the image that Jules from LICC showed us on the first Sunday, which Alistair then reinforced in week two, and Wayne reminded us of again last week, the red and grey dots. The image showing that approximately 6% of people in the UK go to church once a month or more, and therefore that the other 94% don't. So we have the six red dots initially in a cluster in the corner depicting regular churchgoers meeting together. Then as we leave the church and go about our daily life, the red dots move about, touching and interacting with the grey dots, the non-churchgoers that we meet on our front lines. But here's some encouragement for you. This probably is me being an accountant, but go with it. When the six red dots move about, in that second picture, each one of those red dots is touching eight grey dots. That means six red dots are touching 48 grey dots. 48 grey dots is more than 50% of the 94 grey dots we started off with. Conclusion. If we get out there and do what we're supposed to do, we can have a massive impact on influencing the lives of non-churchgoers. It's not a case of we're surrounded by grey dots and we can get absorbed by grey dots. It's the fact we're surrounded by grey dots, and that gives us the opportunity to spread God's word. Now this morning's theme is Together We Grow, and it's about the red dots. It's about us lot. It's about all of the regular churchgoers. And it's about being together, encouraging and supporting each other in readiness for when we go out in our front lines. In the LICC notes for this week, the headline reads, "If we are going to be fruitful when we are scattered on our front lines for the long haul, then we need to be faithful in gathering together. To continue to have an impact, we need to stay strong and encouraged. We need one another. We as red dots need to stay red in a sea of grey dots. Our scattered and gathered lives are irrevocably connected. And that passage that from Hebrews that Chris has just read to us is just one of the many passages in the Bible that talks about our relationships as Christians, our relationships together. And the context in which this passage was written was that some of these early believers were struggling with their faith. Many had dropped out of meeting together. Those that remained were somewhat discouraged. Certainly in need of a pep talk, a bit of encouragement, just as we all do from time to time. The first three verses of the passage give us a clear reminder that our relationship with God is through Jesus, through his blood, his sacrifice, and through him as our intercessor. You know, when I was just thinking about that, and what struck me about our relationship with God being through Jesus, it occurred to me how when we say prayers, at the end of our prayer, we would typically say, "In Jesus' name we pray." And maybe we should just take away another thought, which is in the way that we live our daily lives, we should think, "In Jesus' name we do." Whatever we do, we should be doing in the name of Jesus. Then the passage goes on to three exhortations. And note, each one of the exhortations is in the plural. Let us draw near to God. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Let us consider how we may spur one another on. The significance of these verses can perhaps best be summed up as we need each other. As the LICC notes make clear, what we practice together as a church is what we live out in our everyday lives. What we practice together is what we live out. So let's just look at each of those three exhortations. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings. The writer is urging these believers to draw near to God. He was reminding these people that unlike in Old Testament times when it was the privilege only given to priests, through Jesus, all Christians can and should approach God themselves. And that reminder, that exhortation to draw near to God must be as applicable today as it was then. What does it mean? Well, it must surely mean that we should all live Christ-like lives, living out our faith with a good heart, cleansing ourselves of sin, seeking forgiveness when we mess up. As Christians, we are being encouraged to embrace a life of faith, to believe with all our heart that Jesus Christ is our Saviour. Our faith is the foundation of who we are and how we behave. As one writer put it, what we believe impacts on how we behave. And drawing near to God must also mean being in communication with him. Reading and studying God's word, spending time in prayer and not just speaking but listening too. And I guess the challenge for many of us lies in the frequency of that contact with God. You know, it's not just good enough, is it, to receive God's word on a Sunday or to pray only when we need something. Being near to God is about having a close relationship. Allow me an analogy, and I guess many of you will probably be able to relate to something like this. You imagine having a cousin or a friend that you used to spend time playing with when you were a child. You now only see occasionally at family gatherings, weddings and funerals. And it's so common, isn't it, that after we've had a good chat with them, we often end up by saying, "We must get together soon and have a good catch up." And then we don't. And then when we meet them next time, we go through the whole charade again. It's not dissimilar to saying to God on a Sunday, "We should meet up this week sometime." And then we don't. If we don't meet often and with commitment, we don't have a relationship. And the writer of this passage in Hebrews is urging us as Christians to do more, to engage frequently with God and with intent, to have a real relationship with God. And maybe for some of us, maybe all of us, this engagement, this contact with God is often easier to do with the support and encouragement of other Christians. Through that togetherness. Now in our everyday life, we could all probably come up with examples without anyone to encourage us, despite our best intentions, we stopped doing something. We became distracted or perhaps demotivated when the going got a bit tough. We all probably have examples when it was friends, for example, who kept us going, who spurred us on to complete something. Alan's just completed a 26-mile walk for Macmillan Cancer Support. And I'm sure he can relate to that particular paragraph with regards to spurring each other on when you're walking mile 21, 22, 23, or when you're walking through the sand on a lovely beach, but it's hard work. We need friends to keep us going. We understand how much we really need each other. So much in life is easy with friends to support us. And so it is with praying and studying God's word. It's so much easier and perhaps more effective done together. Whether here on a Sunday morning, whether with prayer partners, in home groups. It's together that we grow. You know, last week, Wayne highlighted how the family prayer, our Lord's Prayer, is written in the plural. Jesus wasn't giving us that prayer so we could say it on our own. The togetherness of that prayer is so important. The second exhortation in this passage is, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, hope is like a fuel which keeps us going. Without hope we give up. With hope we hang on. Hope is the belief that something good will happen, a belief that God is at work in our lives and the lives of others. So in this exhortation, we are being encouraged to hold on tight to the hope of the promise in Christ of our salvation, and to do so by encouraging one another through gathering together. We all need encouragement, because together we grow. But it's not just about being together. We need to do something. And so to the final exhortation. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. Now if we put to one side the reference to horses and spurs, the normal meaning of spur on is to encourage or stimulate someone to do something or to try harder to achieve something. So when it says, consider how we may spur one another on, it means moving the focus from ourselves to others and thinking about what this other person needs to help him or her grow in love and good deeds. It means that we should think actively of how we might encourage others. It requires us to be aware of the needs of others. And in relation to this morning's theme, this exhortation is about helping one another to live out our faith on our front lines. We need to encourage each other to start doing that. We need to encourage each other to continue doing that. That's where the course transforming work fits. It's about that encouragement of people together. And I get it. You know, sometimes people get a little bit worn out of doing good. Sometimes other people become ungrateful for the love shown and the good deeds done. Sometimes it can be difficult to see the fruits of our labours. It can become easy, therefore, to give up and become more self-centred. And the writer to the Hebrews recognized the importance of helping one another by not allowing each other to give up, to keep facing and embracing the challenge before us, to keep going. So how might we do that? How might we spur each other on to love and good deeds? Well, obviously it's about praying for each other, praying for and with other people. It must be about sharing success stories. It must be about being positive after setbacks. It must be about placing a literal or figurative arm around their shoulders to give them a lift. But the writer is also encouraging us to keep meeting together, to keep worshipping together, to help with this encouragement, exploiting the power of togetherness. In that short film clip we watched right at the start, we saw our four characters gather to worship on Sunday. And we need to embrace the vital role of the gathered church in renewing and empowering each one of us. We can be a blessing to each other when we're together. We can be uplifted through our worship. We can share and hear from others. We were made to do things together, not to be individuals ploughing a lonely furrow. And it's not just about on a Sunday, it's other times when we can meet to spur each other on. You know, it's interesting when we reflect on our response as a church, after we had the opportunity to meet again following the COVID restrictions. Unlike a number of other churches, we chose to stop doing online services or live streaming them, because we recognize the power and importance of gathering together as God's people. It's also, I think, interesting to reflect that when people drop out of church life, when they drop out of meeting with the church family, their focus changes. Their focus becomes on themselves, not on God nor on others. Instead of thinking how they can be used by God to encourage others, they think more about how their own needs aren't being met. You know, we can practice faith and hope when we're on our own, but we can't encourage others. And of course, it's not just the minister or the elders or the deacons. We're all responsible for this encouragement. And part of being a good encourager is that we need to know people better. We don't need to know everybody really well, but we need to know some people really well, which is a sign of conversations matter. We need to know what it is that will encourage people, what it is that will spur people on. And with that responsibility, maybe we need to look around for role models. We have some fantastic encouragers at this church. People who know what is going on in the lives of others, who share a quiet word, who send a message of encouragement, a word of scripture, who pray relentlessly. We can all learn from those people. And in the Bible, there's Barnabas, for example. In Acts, we read about Barnabas, who spent a lot of time traveling around with Paul. He was known by Christians all over the place as a great encourager. His real name was actually Joseph, but the apostles called him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. In Acts 11:24, it says of Barnabas, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. There's some characteristics we could all do well to replicate. Be a good person, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Most people would like to be remembered for something good. Maybe it would be fitting to be remembered as a good encourager, to be remembered as a good person, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Let me just repeat some of those words that I read out earlier from LICC. To continue to have an impact, we need to stay strong and encouraged. We need one another. We as red dots need to stay red in a sea of grey dots. Our scattered and gathered lives are irrevocably connected. In a minute, we're going to hand out today's giveaway, which is some red stones, or whatever you'd like to call them. So everybody, we'd invite you to take one with you. And the logic of stones is because stones are shaped by the elements, by their context. And the suggestion is that you keep this stone, this pebbly thing, somewhere where you can feel it from time to time, maybe in a pocket, maybe have it out on your desk, whatever. And each time you pick it up, each time you touch it, you take a moment to ask God to shape you for your front line that you're about to visit. Or maybe every time you touch it, you pray for somebody else to be lifted up on their front line. Or maybe every time you touch it, you use it as a reminder to be an encourager of others, to show love and good deeds and to be a great witness for God. And so as these stones are being handed out, in that time of quiet, I'd like to suggest that you perhaps take time to think of all the front lines that you're going to be on tomorrow or this coming week. Think about how many non-Christians you are likely to meet and what you might say to them or how you might behave in front of them. Think about how you can be a good Christian witness. How can you be intentional in your conversations and interactives with non-Christians as you as a red dot move out there within the grey dots? Upstairs, there's a little bowl with one. If you could hand those out up there. I think there's enough. And I'll just pass these. And if you could take one and then pass them on round, that would be great. And just think about your front lines, as I suggest. Thanks. So if you'd like to hold your stone, think about your front lines as we pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of this church family. As we hold our red stones as a reminder of how you shaped us to be who you want us to be, to do what it is you want us to do, we pray that we will respond to your calling to be fruitful witnesses to you on our front lines. And Heavenly Father, we pray that wherever we are, whatever we do, that the Holy Spirit will guide us in all things, so that we may do your will in the world, in the service of Jesus Christ. In the name of your precious Son, we lift this prayer to you now. Amen.